Jayada Damadava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Puriva Jakacharya Astotara Shatakriti Manasadam Grace Abhay Charno Vrinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shredavita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunigir Govardhan Ki Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Shri Gangamaya Ki Jaya Shri Jamnamaya Ki Jaya Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jaya. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jaya. The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jaya. The Lordship Sri Sri Man Nitai Gaura Chandra Ki Jaya. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Guranga Jaya. Lord, they got me something here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, entitled The Appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. Text number 24. Tatascha vapricamimam vipriche. Vishrabhya vipraiti krityatayam. Sarvatmana mriyamanaischa kriyam. Sudam chatatra mrishata biyukta. Tataisha vapricham imam vipriche. Vishrabhya vipraiti krityatayam. Sarvatmana mriyamanaischa krityam. Sudam chatatra mrishata biyukta. Tataisha vapricham imam vipriche. Vishrabhya vipraiti krityatayam. Sarvatmana mriyamanaischa krityam. Sudam chatatra mrishata biyukta. Please chant. Tatascha vapricham imam vipriche. Vipraji vipraiti krityatayam. Sarvatmana mriyamanaischa krityam. Shudam chatatra mrishata biyukta. Tatascha vapricham imam vipriche. Vipraja vipra iti krityatayam. Sarvatmana mriyamanaischa krityam. Shudham chatatra mrishata biyukta. Tatascha vapricham imam vipriche. Vishrabhya vipra iti krityatayam. Sarvatmana mriyamanaischa krityam. Shudam chatatra mrishata biyuktah. Word for word, tata. As such, cha, and va, unto you, pricham, that which is to be asked, imam, this, vipriche, beg to ask you, vishrabhya, trustworthy, vipraha, brahmanas, iti, thus, krityatayam, out of all different duties, sarva atmana, by everyone, mriyamanai, especially those who are just about to die, cha, and krityam, dutiful, shudam, perfectly correct. Cha and Tatra Viren. Amrishata. By complete deliberation. Abhiyuktaha. Just befitting. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O trustworthy Brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and especially of those who are just about to die. Purport. In this verse, the king has placed two questions before the learned sages. The first question is, what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances? And the second question is, what is the specific duty of one who is to die very shortly? Out of the two, the question relating to the dying man is most important, because everyone is a dying man, either very shortly or after 100 years. The duration of life is immaterial, but the duty of a dying man is very important. Maharaj Parikshit placed these two questions before Shukadev Goswami also on his arrival, and practically the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the second canto up to the last 12th canto, deals with these two questions. The conclusion arrived at, therefore, is that devotional service of the Lord Sri Krishna, as it is confirmed by the Lord Himself in the last phases of the Bhagavad Gita, is the last word in relation to everyone's permanent duty in life. Maharaj Parikshit was already aware of this fact, but he wanted the great sages assembled there to unanimously give their verdict on his conviction, so that he might be able to go on with his confirmed duty without controversy. He has especially mentioned the word shuddha, or perfectly correct. For transcendental realization or self-realization, many processes are recommended by various classes of philosophers. Some of them are first-class methods, and some of them are second- or third-class methods. The first-class method demands that one give up all methods and surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus be saved from all sins and their reactions. End of purport. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopika Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumati Shiva Virabhav Praviti Namini Shri Shri Vindata Vivira Prabhupada Nirvada Namashi Virabhav. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachanini Vishesha Sinyavadi Paschata Vishitani. Hare Krishna. So, the first thing that caught my eye in this verse before going in depth is what a Mahatma, a great soul that Maharaj Parikshit is, in that he's on his last, but he's inquiring, his first inquiry is about the welfare of others. So just like Srila Prabhupada, even in his final days, lying in bed, they had a holy microphone to his mouth and a dictaphone. But his only concern was for the welfare of others. He was preaching, directing, managing, organizing, translating. So this is a Mahatma, this is a great soul. So their first business is about others, even though they're in that condition. So that's their business. Always it's about others. So in our class on Monday, Madhurananda touched a little bit about this one letter word, which is one of the most contaminating word that there is, you know, this I. So, you know, we have this idea of I, you know, I am this, I am that, I am this body, you know. Even now coming out to technology, we have iPhone, iPad, iPod. I also have to spend and pay for it. And it's all about I and I. So whenever one has this thing in mind about I, expect I to be in the center, it's a contamination. And when we actually live with this, this term is called going through life. So generally people go through life from birth to death, they go through with this, that I am the center, everything about I. And it's even difficult. It's difficult to change that. I remember my sister-in-law, when my niece was just about maybe a couple of years old, she was cooking in her kitchen one day and she was trying to teach her daughter the vowels of the alphabet. So she was busy cooking and talking. A, E, I, she was directing, you know, teaching her daughter. A, E, I, O, and when she got to U, she turned and pointed to the little girl. A, E, I, O, U. And this girl got this message. A, E, I, O, me. And it took months to get that concept out of her, that it's not me, it's you. So similar this, you know, in a conditioned way, this nature is there to always think about ourselves, think about us, think about I. And when that happens, you know, this I means expectations. That when we have I in mind, then we have expectations in mind. That despite what the circumstances are, we are always thinking that I'm the center, that everyone should give me respect, if, you know, I need the respect, or I deserve the respect, or I deserve everything else that you can think about. So, and when that happens, then frustration comes about, because you cannot demand others to give that to you. You cannot force them. And when you don't get it, then you become disappointed. But when we switch that I to you, that instead of putting me in the center, put the others in the center, put the others' welfare in front, then you become very happy. Because let's take some very simple examples, that if you want to offer obeisances to someone, who can stop you? No one can stop you. You do it willingly and you feel pleasure doing so. Or if you want to give a donation to the temple, no one can stop you. Because you're giving to not yourself, but to the other party. Similarly with respect and everything else that comes along. So when you put you in the center, then we become very happy. And we are not restricted. We are not limited. We are not controlled by that. So this is the life of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the life of a devotee. To put themselves in the last position and put everybody else in front. So when one does that, when one switches, when one thinks about I, that is called going through life. But when one switches that to you, then that is called growing through life. So we grow, we learn to give up this false ego, we learn to give up this self-identity of being in the center. So it's a stage of spiritual growth. So we call that growing through life. So this is what a devotee should do. Not to go through life, but to grow through. And for one to do that, then there are certain qualities that have to be in place. So we just finished observing Lord Nityananda's appearance, and the epitome of his character and his quality, this was nicely captured by Sri Lochan Das Thakur. So maybe you can repeat after me. Akroda paramananda nityananda rai. Akroda paramananda nityananda rai. Abhimana sunya nittai nagare vidaya. Okay, so that's a verse that Lochan Das Thakur sings, capturing the quality, the essence of the life of Lord Nityananda. So akroda means not angry. Krodha is anger. Akroda, no anger or no, you know, or not being angry. So it's saying that Lord Nityananda is never angry. And why? Because Parama Ananda, so that he's always engaged in transcendental bliss of loving service to the Lord. And then Abhimana Sunya Nitai, that he's devoid of any false pride, and this way Nagare Bidaya, that he's roaming around the town. So this is the life of Nityananda Prabhu, he who is the Lord himself, teaching that one should not be angry, one should give up anger, one should not allow anger to affect us, and do not allow false ego to affect us also. So when one have these qualities, then we can able to switch from I to you. And so this is the first thing that caught my attention when I read this verse here today about Maharaj Parikshit. He's about to die, and the first question is, he asks, what is the duty of everyone in this world? He wants the sages, even though he's convinced, he knew the conclusion. But the Vedic system is that things are done on the basis of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So here we had sadhus assembled from all over the planet. After they heard that Maharaj Parikshit is going to leave in 7 days, they want to come and get the last association of Maharaj Parikshit, and also to give their association, to give the essence of the teachings of life to everyone who they are in touch with. So here Maharaj Parikshit wanted them to conform, because if he say, well, okay, this is my conclusion, this is what I'm going to do, people may think, well, okay, you know, this is just your personal idea, your personal thought, your personal everything. So, but a devotee, he always conforms with these three authorities, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. He always makes sure that whatever his activities are is in line with these three. So
Here, he was asking the sages, so he was asking the sadhus to conform. And Prabhupada repeated this, stated in this purport that he would also ask the same question to Sukadeva Goswami as he is now appearing. So Sukadeva Goswami would be his spiritual master. So he would ask the same questions. And Srila Prabhupada also confirmed that in this case, with all Maharaj Parikshit was here in the form of the student, that Maharaj Parikshit was equally qualified of a devotee, is equally qualified of a personality, that he could have also be the one speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sukadeva Goswami could have been the student listening. So that's how qualified he was. But because he has a position of a king, which is generally not the order in society that gives spiritual instruction, that teaches, they follow spiritual instructions as guided by the sages and the brahmanas. So he took that role as a student instead. But he was fully qualified. So the first thing he was asking is about what is the duty of everyone. So he wanted the sages and Sukadeva Goswami, as he would appear, to give that instruction so the entire world gets the benefit. Srila Prabhupada did the same thing, give so that the entire world benefits. And towards the last, Prabhupada said that he has given us everything in his books, that it's complete. If we simply stick to that, then everything would be all right. So, till to his last moment, he gave everything. So here Sukadeva Maharaj Parikshit also, to the last moment, he wants to give everything, he wants to give the greatest benefit to the world. So, and that is, what is the duty of life? What should one do? How should one conduct his activities? So then his second question was, what is the duty of one who is especially one who is about to die? So that's him, but he put that in the second position. So he put the general mass of people up front, and he in the second position. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the basis of these two questions form the basis of the entire teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. This 19th chapter is the last chapter of the first canto, and from the second chapter, these two questions will be discussed for the remaining of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is how important these two questions are. And here Srila Prabhupada describes that there are many sages there, and many of them have different opinions. In another purport, which is probably to come, Srila Prabhupada gave the example, just like different doctors would recommend different solutions, different medications. I remember once we went to the doctor right here in town, and he came with another doctor looking at the patient, and he was saying, you know, maybe I think, you know, I think I like this medication, I'll recommend this medication. And then the other doctor is saying, you know, I kind of like this medication to give her better, that you know, this can also work. And they were talking, then I was thinking, well, you know, aren't they supposed to have one conclusion? You know, it's supposed to have one standard. But Srila Prabhupada, when I read his purport, you know, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the same thing, that they may have different solutions to the same problem, and they might approach it different ways. And some might be a first-class solution, some might be a second or a third class. So similarly with the sages or saints, they may give different solutions or different practices to solve the problem of life, to solve this problem of death, to solve this problem of the contamination of being a part of this material world. But he's saying that Krishna himself gave the conclusion, which is the first class conclusion, which is stated here in the Bhagavad Gita, which is specifically Srila Prabhupada is referring here to the 18th chapter, 1866.
Sarva dharman paricya jam amikam sharanam braja aham tam sarva papibhyo moksha yishyami masichaha.
Krishna is saying, just abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I'll free you from all the reactions of your sinful activities. Do not fear. So, formerly Krishna was, he gave Arjuna so many different instructions, talking about this yoga practice, that yoga practice, this dharma, that dharma, maybe 10, 12 different types of dharmas, and so much yoga system, so much different practices that one can perform to gradually get out of this consciousness of I and mine and understand and develop oneself spiritually. But finally, towards the end of Bhagavad Gita, which is heading towards to the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Krishna gave his final verdict that this is my instruction. Abandon all varieties, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me, that I will take away all the reactions of your sinful life. Do not fear. So very boldly, Krishna is saying that. Very, very boldly. So this is the conclusion, and Srila Prabhupada is saying this is the conclusion of the entire Bhagavatam. That of all the processes, all the practices, all the procedures in all the Vedic scriptures, this is the highest. This is the first class one. So some people, they may not come around to accepting the first class standard. They would want to accept a second or third class standard. And that's okay, they might want to accept a different process. Like this same excerpt I read from Prabhupada Lila this morning, I didn't go on to read the other part for you, but he had a end up being a sort of a confrontation with some Christian ministers. Actually, most of them who came to attend the program, they were actually ministers who were upset that Prabhupada is doing so much of preaching work, but he was kind of gathering people to his practices of spirituality, and they didn't like that too much. So anyway, so there are different processes, but Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna is giving the highest process. So that make it the easiest for us. Like when you go in all the buildings, they would have a staircase and they would have the elevators. So you have a choice. You can take the elevator or you can take the staircase. Sometimes some of us, I remember when we were in school, we had was a brand new secondary school and they had both an elevator and a staircase. And so when we were late for class, we want to run up, you know, use the elevator and go up. But when we want to drag and space out and play and, you know, be the bad student, we would take the staircase and take our sweet time and go up from one staircase, go to that platform, hang around, and wait when we hear, you know, the teacher starting a roll call, then we'll keep walking up. So things like that. So it's your choice, whichever process you want to take. But Prabhupada is giving the highest process. Maharaj Parikshit is initiating this supreme inquiry for the benefit of all of us. So with all that what we're doing, this has to be the forefront of our activities. This has to be the forefront of our thinking, of our consciousness, that what is our main duty. So because we're here, and Srila Prabhupada even touched in this purport of indirectly talked about the Varnashram system, that we might have our duties to perform, we might have different capabilities, different material abilities, different professions, but if we cannot culminate those duties and professions and practices and activities into the highest conclusion of surrender unto Krishna, then we have to understand that something is wrong. Just like we say to chant 16 rounds every day. The purpose of chanting 16 rounds is that we should every day be able to understand or improve our consciousness in practice. So if we're chanting and chanting and then, but we're not, we can see differences 2 months ago or 2 years ago from what we're doing then or what we're doing now, we should understand that something is wrong. So not only the basic instruction is there, but we have to understand the in-depth of the instruction. That we're probably not chanting properly, we're not chanting attentively, and so forth. So because the conclusion is there that, again, Lord Nityananda, he used to go from door to door. He would literally offer obeisances to the townspeople at their door, prostrated obeisance, and beg them, please chant the holy name of Krishna. That I can assure you, if you do this, your life would be sublime, your life would be successful. And he would also be willing to worship them. So that's Lord Nityananda. So again, he is in this mood of this Paramananda and a Krodha, that no anger. Many times people used to beat him. Even when he goes to their doors, they would chase him, they would beat him, they would spit on him. But he tolerated all that. He never became angry, even to the culmination of the Jagai and Madai pastime, when they hit him with this pot, busted his forehead, he was bleeding profusely. He still was begging, please, forget about this. Even when Lord Chaitanya came, he said, you know, news went to Lord Chaitanya, he came with his Sudarshan Chakra to get rid of them, to finish them off. Lord Nityananda is saying, no, that your method for this age is your preaching, not with those kind of weapons. And Lord Chaitanya said, I cannot tolerate that they've hurt you so badly. He said, no, they haven't hurt me. He said, look at your face, it's all blood all over. He said, no, this is just a little scratch, it's okay, don't worry, just give them your mercy, take care. So that's Lord Nityananda, he's never angry. And the Paramananda, the supreme bliss, is caused by the fact that this process of devotional service is joyfully performed. This is stated in the second verse of the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, Raja Vijaya Raja Guyam Paramam Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Sushukam Kartum Avyayam. So, Krishna is saying that this is the king of education, this is the king of knowledge, Raja Vijayam. Raja Guyam, the king of all education. Why? Because he gives direct perception of the self by realization. Very important, that word, by realization. And how is that so? Because this practice of devotional service is shuchukam, is joyfully performed. So that's the nature. Not only that you know, we have to introspect and think in this way of keeping our focus. Sometimes when we try to keep our focus, it becomes strenuous. Like yesterday, I had a target to do, you know, to finish. I had a deadline that I had to get it done. And it was so stressful. It's the first time I'm using a new computer program. They've changed the entire program. And it's so drawn out to get it done. And every time I go into it, okay, you have made this mistake, you have to correct that, you have to do it like that. And was going and I had to focus to get it done with the time frame. If not, I can get a penalty with my work. So, but it was strenuous, it was stressful. Like when I finished, I just didn't want to see the computer anymore for a while. So, but devotional service is not like that. In the middle of you keeping that focus, it's very joyous, it's joyfully performed. Shushukam, kartama vyayam. So that's the nature, that not only it keeps us in line, and sometimes people think that it keeps us narrow. But in the sense, we are more broad because we can think in a broader spectrum. So this is the activities. This is what Sukadev Goswami is, and Maharaj Parikshit is setting the standard here for the benefit of all of us. Just like Arjuna was inquiring in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was the self-realized soul, but he played a part of a frustrated student just so that we can get the benefit. Similarly, Maharaj Parikshit is playing this role here as an inquiring student that who wants to learn his duty, learn to know how he should perform his duty, what he should do, what he shouldn't do. And Sukadev Goswami coming as a teacher to give this knowledge and expand on it so much. Just like yesterday Mataji was talking about Narottam Das Thakur. You know, he had the scripture and translated it in Bengali so that it can be simple for the people to understand. Srila Prabhupada has done the same here in English, the entire Bhagavatam, that he translates and he put it in words so that we can understand. Like many times if you read Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's purports, you have to get purport to those purports before you can grasp the concept. Even Srila Jiva Goswami also, if you read his works, like especially the Satsandarbhas, you know, that they were so highly intelligently composed that it takes a lot of deliberation, a lot of understanding to really understand them. Mainly because he was preaching, he wrote those books due to the class of people that were there at the time, and especially with the Muslim government, that they were trying to destroy the deity worship and devotional principles. But they were intelligent class of people, so he presented his work in such a way so that they can understand. But similarly here, like one time Srila Prabhupada mentioned, he said, I have placed, you know, hundreds of thoughts into these books. He said, I could have written these books much faster, but he has to think a lot to put it in such a way so the common people can understand. So this is the benefit we have of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the benefit we have of such personalities like Maharaj Parikshit. This is the benefit we have of such questions placed by such a personality for the benefit of all of us. So these are actually wake-up calls. Yeah, and unfortunately, many of us are pretty stubborn about it. Like one of our workers the other day, he was very, very strong and healthy, and he just all of a sudden got down with a heart attack. So when I spoke with him in the hospital after he get out of his coma situation after 3 days, he said, you know, I thought that I was invincible, that, you know, he had so much strength and energy, he thought, well, he can go on forever, but now he realized he was wrong. And he said now he's trying to, you know, take care that he gotta get off, you know, these drugs and whatever he was taking and try to be good. So that was about maybe a week to 10 days ago. From yesterday, he went back on the drugs again. You know, so this is the kind of a thing that our memory, you know, is really shallow. So we are not by nature, as what we said in the beginning of the class, as we go through life with a shallow memory. But we have to learn to grow through life, which means we grow through with a deep memory. We go through with a deep understanding, we grow through with a deeper perception or think in a deeper way of things. And that's what creates the difference between living in a material life, living with a material vision, and living with a spiritual vision. We're all in a material world, no doubt about that. But we can live in such a way so that the contaminants of the material world doesn't affect us, is not drawing us into her clutches, Maya's clutches. We can associate with the same elements with caution and use it for our purpose and thus transform that from a material to a spiritual activity. So that's in essence what the whole Vedic culture is all about. That's in essence what this Krishna consciousness movement is all about. To use the same facilities, like many times people criticize Prabhupada, well, you're condemning material civilization, but you're using the airplane, you're using the cars, you're using the dictaphones, whatever. So then Prabhupada explained that no, you use it in Krishna's service. Utility, you know, yukta vairagya. Utility is the principle. So whatever you have available, you utilize it in Krishna's service. So many qualities, many activities can be used. The only quality that cannot be used in Krishna's service is the quality of envy. Even though there are some information in the name of Krishna, Dhirodatta and Dhirodatta, there is something in there, I have to look it up, where some of those qualities that apparently he has some tinge that can be used in some way. But for the devotee, the quality of envy cannot be used in Krishna's service, but every other quality, kama, krodha, lobha, moha. So anger can also be used. So with all Nityananda Prabhu is saying that follow him, do not be angry. But I think it's in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it's described that when one is qualified, then he's allowed to be angry. Because he's not being controlled by the anger, but he's controlling that anger and using it in Krishna's service. Like maintain, sometimes Prabhupada would display that. Sometimes he would scream and yell at the devotees, and then the very next moment he's completely calm and composed, as though nothing ever happened. Only he can do such a thing. So anyway, these are some of the points. There are many more points in this purport, but it's going to take a much longer time. So I want to stop there. And if there are any questions, corrections, comments, we can take them. Mother Himavati.
Thank you for the class. You said that process of always counteracting our desire to be first and not Krishna first, like our ego, our I and mine, mm-hmm. is something joyful. I find that day after day, just fighting with this mental condition that you're always telling your mind that it is not you in the front, it's Krishna in the front. Sometimes stressful and even depressing. So is it that with the time when you're always saying to your ego, get lost, that the mercy will come, or you will just get used of not putting yourself in the front?
Srila Prabhupada gave the answer in the latter part of this purport here, which I didn't touch on, but Srila Prabhupada gave the answer to that. He says, one should make the effort, but with full surrender. And you have to surrender. Not that, you know, you'll fight with your own energy. Just like with in the Kuru assembly with Draupadi, when the attempt was there to disrobe her. She was fighting with herself. She was fighting to protect herself. And it's described that in the work, Krishna was there with Rukmini on the swing, and then all of a sudden he would leave the swing and he would go to the door, and then he would get frustrated and come back dejected. You sit again, then you'd go again. Then Rukmini asks, what's wrong? What's going on? You were such in a jolly mood, all of a sudden your mood is changing. Then he said, oh, my devotee is asking for help, but then she would take things in her own hands, so then it's blocking me from getting in the way. And finally, Draupadi surrendered. She put her hands up, she stopped fighting with her saris, tried to hold on. And then Krishna immediately came and started supplying and, you know, protecting everything. So those two things, and Prabhupada says that Krishna demands, in this purport he says, he demands surrender. He demands a full surrender. So, of course, we can't say, well, we surrendered and we'll go and stand in the middle of the road, that this truck is coming, I surrender, I just stay there. No, you have to use our intelligence, we have to make the effort, but when we do it with a surrendered mood, then Krishna steps in and he takes over. So initially it can appear to be frustrated, but if you have the proper mood to understand that I cannot do this on my own, that this is what I should do, but let me get the help of the devotees, association of devotees, association of the great souls, association of the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And if you engage in the process of devotional service, then these things automatically go away. Just like it says in Kirtan, that when one dance and clap his hands, when you clap your hands, the lines in your palm, and Radhikesh Prabhu can tell you a little bit about that, he knows about that, astrology, it changes. And when these lines change, it indicates that your karma is changing. And it's like when you clap your hands, the birds fly away. Similarly, your karma can gradually go away. So like that, it can be blissful. I don't know if that captured the essence of your...
So it's just a question of time, and we keep on trying and get Krishna help. And
yes, a question of time. So, you know, this one thing that we shouldn't give up. Just like we're living in material life, or you have health problems, even if you might think, well, this is a waste of time, but you can't avoid trying. You cannot give up. We have to keep trying. And Krishna assures, Lord Chaitanya assures, that if we give our every effort, whatever is short, he's going to make up. Yeah, even Prabhupada said, you keep trying, but hold on to my dhoti, I'll take you. I'll take you back. So, yeah. Okay, so is there anything else? So I guess we can stop here.